Praise the Lord. Message number 53. The title of the message, Sheltering Our Children, is God's Mandate to Holiness. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 127 and verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank and we praise you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Bless this time and use it mightily for your glory, and not my lips, and put verses and a statement to encourage your people and to lead them in the way that you want them to go, Lord. I pray that the message will be clear to each and everyone who listen will know clearly what you want from him and what you want him to do for you. Take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it reach your people who are waiting to hear your word. Let your name be glorified and lifted up. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our children are precious reward from the Lord. He had given them to us. Therefore, we need to cherish that fact and be responsible toward Him in raising them up in the way that God wants us to raise them for Him. We need to nurture our children. We need to care for them. We need to provide for them the right atmosphere and the right food and shelter and study that they need, so that they will grow up in the fear of the Lord. In doing so, then we have to protect them from the dangers of the world and the polluted atmosphere of sin that is so prevalent in the world around us. We need to protect them and we need to shelter them. There are many temptation, pollution, hazards and harms all around us and our children. We need to be careful. For us as parents, we had to overcome. But our children, they have not yet overcome temptation, and they are not equipped to face the temptation right now. So therefore, we need to protect them. We need to move them away from the atmosphere that bring temptation and hazard in their life. For this reason, we as a true Christian parents might be accused by the society around us that we are overprotective parents. That maybe your friends, your relatives, your parents, maybe the grandparents of your children, they all might accuse you that you are overprotective. That you are isolating your children. That you are moving your children away from the society. In modern society, it is assumed that overprotection of children is the worst thing that can be done to the children. And they will say, after all, everyone knows children must not be sheltered from the real world. You know, people, they will say that children, they must be exposed to all these things, even the wrong things, so that they will learn. That is not the way that God wants us to raise up our children. We need to protect them, not to expose them to harmful things while they are not ready to face it alone. We have to guide and guard our children. If there are things that is wrong around them, we need to tell them about it and show them the wrong things and instruct them not to do it. That is the right way. But we need to be with them. We need to show them the right from the wrong, and we need to show them the wrong from the right, differentiate it to them, and tell them that is the wrong way we should not do, and that is the right way that we ought to do it for our God. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29 to verse 31, the Lord your God will cut off before you the nations you are about to invade and dispossess. But when you have driven them out and settled in their land, and after they have been destroyed before you, you be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? We shall do the same. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in fire as sacrifices to their God. See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. Now here the Lord is commanding the Israelites. After they would enter the promised land, and the Lord would dispossess the nation and drive them away from them and make them settle in their land, not to be snared or enticed to inquire how these nations they were worshipping their God and do the same. He told them, don't do what they are doing. And one of the things, detestable things that the Lord mentioned here, he said they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. They take their children and they will throw them into a fire, because that is the way how they worship their God. They would take the daughter or the son they brought to their temple, and during the worship, part of the worship, that is the sacrifice they are offering to the Lord. Burn their children. Now here, as a Christian, we follow Christ, we believe in Christ. God would tell us, don't do what the other nation around you are doing. Now, we will go to the point that the Lord has spoke here. They burn their sons and daughters. How they are burning now the people, their sons and daughters? Not in the actual fire. Not that they will bring their son and the daughter and they will put fire and they will burn them publicly. No, they are not doing this. Otherwise, the human rights and many organizations will object. They will say, those are criminals and we have to stop all these things, and they will involve the very high organization, even the United Nations. It might be involved in that, if that had happened. But how they are burning their children in a subtle way, they expose them to sinful atmosphere. They give to their children mobiles, laptops. They allow them to go to through this, to go to wrong sites, and they will see through TV pornographies, they will allow them to intermingle with boys and girls early, and they're exposed to sex. Now, here physically there is no fire, but spiritually they are in hell. They are throwing their children in hell. Now, the children are not accountable before the Lord when they do wrong, because they are not yet at the age of accountability. But we are accountable before God to protect them. Now, if you have a child, a daughter or son, whom you know very well that your child cannot yet control himself, how you would allow him and put in his hand a TV and a remote control to scroll and expose himself to something wrong on TV? How you give your child a computer and he can surf the net and he can go to wrong sites? How can you give your child a big amount of money whom he cannot handle, and sure he will go and buy wrong things and harm himself with the money that you give him? In doing this, all these things, we are burning our children in the fire of hell. We need to protect them. You know, before we deal with the issue of sheltering our children, we need to deal about the issue of the fear of man. In the Proverbs chapter 29 verse 25, it says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Now here, most of us, we agree about what I spoke, that these are wrong things and we need to protect our children. We need not to allow our children to go with friends or people that we don't know. And that's why when we send our children to a public school, the teachers we don't know, the student with him with our children we don't know. So we are exposing our children to the dangers. When we know there is wrong things in TV, movies and songs, worldly songs, and other things that will harm the child and take his attention from the thing that he need to know, we know all these things are wrongs. But why we still not stopping our children in moving in these directions? Because we are accused by the people around us, or we will be accused by the people around us, that we are sheltering our children. They will tell you, "You are isolating your child. How you do like that? Children must watch TV. Children, they must go outside and play in the street. Children, they must go to the neighbors and play with the children of their neighbors. Those are children. You cannot stop them." But that is not the word of God. You go to the word of God. The home atmosphere is the atmosphere that the children will grow. Not in the street, not with the neighbor house children, not in a public school, no. They will be grown in the atmosphere of the house. The parents, they will be the one to teach and direct the child. No TV, so that there is no other third person will interfere and speak to the child. We need our children to listen to us, not to TV, not to radio program, not even to a Christian programs, because we need to speak to them the word of God. They need to listen to us, not to somebody else. We are their parents. Now in doing so, many they will accuse you. Many they will tell you, "Are You are odd. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, he say, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, to the pattern of this world. Do not try to fit in to the pattern of this world. Everyone, he buy to his child mobile, and everyone, he allow his child to go to the Facebook and expose himself, and everyone, he is allowing his children to watch TV and movies. This is the world. But as I decide not to conform, not to be confirmed any longer to the pattern of this world, I will not do these things. I will not allow my child to expose to all these things. I will show him what is right, and I will show him what is wrong, and I will tell him these wrong things we will not do, and I will not allow you to do. I would teach him to do the right thing. Now, not everyone will be able to stand this stand. But I pray that you hear the message. The Lord will enable you to do everything according to His will. Because the people will start to speak. Maybe your relative, your the child auntie, the child uncle, or the child grandparents, or the friends, or the neighbor, will start to accuse you. They will tell you are odd. They will tell you you are behaving in a odd way. And when they will speak like that, you might be ashamed. So you are finally yielding to the pressure of the society around you. I remember very well when I decided to homeschool my child, many people, even inside the church, they came to me and they would tell me, Pastor, why you are isolating your child in this way? Why you are doing like this to him? He will be harmed. He will be isolated. He will not know the world. Now that is a pressure. But I used to tell them, this is what the Bible speaks in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And these commands, book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse and verse 69, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Verse 7, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I used to say, this is what the Bible spoke to me, the word of God spoke to me. God spoke to me that I need to teach my child. I need be the one to train him, me and the mother. The parents, we are responsible to teach him. And the atmosphere of the home is his school, in addition to his home. I don't want somebody else whom I don't know in atmosphere that I don't trust, like a public school, even a private school, whatever school, whom your child will be exposed to a large number of children whom and they don't know the Lord, and teacher who does not know God, and your child in that atmosphere, sure we're going to learn a lot of things wrong. I say, I don't want my child to be exposed and learn something wrong. I will teach him what is right, and I will also teach him what is wrong. Somebody will teach him the wrong as if right, and he will take it as a right. But I will teach him what is wrong according to the Bible and what is right according to the Bible. And I will admonish him not to do the wrong things and encourage him to do what is right. I used to explain that. But later on, God helped me and the church member, they understand it. And some of them also, they start to delight in the idea that we need to follow God in teaching our children. We need to protect our children and not to expose them to atmosphere that will bring some wrong teaching advice unto them and misdirect them into the wrong track. But at the beginning, when they were coming to me, and some of them, they are ashamed to speak to me as if I have done wrong, and they don't want directly to tell me, Pastor, you are wrong, what you are doing to your child. They are just try to explain to me that I should not do that, I should send him to public school, that I will not be able to teach him because he will not listen. But the Bible say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that's the command of God. My child should obey me because this is what God said. And this is what I need to stand on. That God said to my child, obey your father and mother. What I need to do, I need to teach him the way of God. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Paul say, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believe. Now, what I was doing, that is the gospel for my child. I need to give the gospel, and that is the way to protect him. To protect my child not to be in a wrong atmosphere, in a bad atmosphere. Some people are opposing this, but I should not be ashamed. I should not be intimidated of giving the gospel that will bring salvation to my child and salvation to the other children, to the church member and other families, and everyone who want to follow and walk in the ways of the Lord. We are living in the world, but we should not live as the people of the world around us. You know, some Christians, they want to fit in. They want everyone to be happy with them. Their efforts to fit in are nothing less than a fearful surrender to the very conformity and worldliness that scripture challenges us to avoid. You know, Romans chapter 12 verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, which is your spiritual act of service. Now, our children are also a living sacrifice, and we need to present the parts of their body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. That is how they ought to worship and live and serve the Lord. So we don't need to be timid or intimidated by the accusation of the people around us. We need not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to live in holiness, holy and acceptable, to present the parts of our body and the parts of our children, body to the Lord. And in the book of 1 Peter and chapter 1 and verse 14 to verse 16, the word of God say, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. God wants us to live in holiness, and God also wants our children to live in holiness. What he say here, do not conform to the evil desire you had when you live in ignorance. Now, before we come to know God, before God revealed himself to us, I was living in sin. I was living in ignorance. Now I am not accountable before that. But then after, when God revealed himself to me and start to reveal his secrets to me, then I need to follow exactly. I need not to be conformed to the evil desire of the world around us. I need to separate myself and separate my child from that atmosphere. In book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. The secret things belong to God, but what God revealed to us, we have to follow it. It belongs to us. They are God's blessing to us, and God's blessing for our children. They are God's blessing for our children. So we need to follow what God's word say. We need to protect them, because children will be harmed if they exposed to a sinful atmosphere. They are not ready. Why God is not making the child accountable? Because he is not yet ready for accountability. Every child is non-innocent, but he is non-accountable. They are not able to control themselves, to protect themselves. They don't have self-control. We are their parents, are responsible to protect them. We are responsible not to let them be exposed to wrong things. Movies, TVs, laptops, computers, mobiles that cause wrong things to them, friends, other atmosphere that they are not ready to face and to say no to sin and temptation. We should not allow them to move into that direction. That is our rule as parents. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 say, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, or God's peculiar possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. A holy nation you are. Every parent is a holy nation before God. A royal priesthood, a chosen people, God's special or peculiar possession. So we need to be up to that level of expectation in front of God, not only for us as a parent, but for our children. We need to care for them. We need to put them in the right and healthy atmosphere that will protect them from being exposed prematurely to harmful temptation and might be caused and fall into sin. Our children is not enough for them to be born again to know Christ, but they need to be holy. They need to be sanctified. They need to be separated from sin and from the world. A good example from the Old Testament is about the Nazarite. Book of Numbers, chapter 6. And we will read from verse 1 to verse 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of separation to the Lord as a Nazarite, he must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from wine or from other fermented drink. He must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins. As long he is a Nazarite, he must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or skin. During the entire period of his vow of separation, no razor may be used on his head. He must be holy until the period of his separation to the Lord is over. He must let the hair of his head grow long throughout the period of his separation to the Lord. He must not go near a dead body. Even if his own father or mother or brother or sister dies, he must not make himself ceremonially unclean on account of them, because the symbol of his separation to God is on his head. Therefore, throughout the period of his separation, he is consecrated to the Lord." Now, here the Lord is speaking about those who separate themselves. The word separation, he called those who separate themselves Nazarite. They have not to eat vine or wine or even the seed. They should let their hair long. They should not touch a dead body, even father or mother. So here God is speaking about a people who live a different style. They are odd in the way they eat. They are odd in the way they live. Long hair and certain food they don't eat. Other food they will not touch. They will not touch these things, these things. The same here for our children. Same here for us. We need to live as a Nazarite, separated fully to the Lord through the whole period of separation. What is the period of separation of us to the Lord? Until He come and take us. Until He come and take us, we have to be separated from the Lord, from the world, unto the Lord. The Nazarite, they are holy people, eccentric living. They are odd. They are peculiar in their life and how they separate themselves unto the Lord. The same here for you and for your children. No TV, no worldly songs, no boyfriend and girlfriends, no going to Facebook, no reading magazines, because you are Nazarite. You cannot eat these things. You are separated unto the Lord. Not only you, Your children also. Not only me, but my child and my children. Because you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy nation. We are God's special possession, peculiar people, that we may declare the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Now here, we come to know the picture very clearly. It is not enough to be born again, but you need to be sanctified. The same for your children, for your child. It is not enough that he will know Christ, but he need to be living a holy life. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. Also, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Our children must be pure. We have to live as a pure in heart. We have to be pure in our heart. And also our children, they need to live with the purity in their heart. How they will live pure? We should not expose them to harmful things. What they see, what they watch, what they hear, what they eat, is so important for us to choose. These are the things that feed their soul and spirit. And we need to be careful what to choose in the house. Of books, of programs, what we speak, the things we listen, what we watch is very important as a spiritual food for the children. It has to be clean and pure so that our children will not be polluted with the things that cause them to sin. The Lord say in Matthew chapter 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine. The way we shine, we are shine when we are separated from the world. Our oddness is the way we shine for Jesus. People, they say you are odd. That is the way how you shine for the Lord. When you don't agree with the world, when you don't agree with their worldly way, you are odd. They may say you are complicated. They may say also you are strange. But don't be intimidated with all that. You stand firm. In this, you are shining for the Lord. Some people, they say that you must be light and you must be salt. But the way they understand salt and light is in the wrong way. They believe that salt and light are to be mingled with the world. But in fact, the opposite is true. Salt loses its saltness through leaching. When it is exposed to the world, it loses saltness, loses its effectiveness. And also the light, through dissipation, light is dimmed by proximity to shadow producing obstacles. If there is light and there is some shadow or obstacle or cover in front of the light, the light will not shine, it will be dim. We will shine when we separate from the world. We will be a true salt to preserve when we are away from the worldly things and worldly atmosphere. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let us read from verse 14 to verse 18. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. When you allow your children to expose to worldliness and worldly friends and TVs and worldly programs and public schools, they are yoked with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So God here is clearly disagreeing with the way the people that we say that children should be exposed. God said, don't be yoked with them. How about adults? The adults are able to protect themselves. When we are strong, we can face. But our children, they are not yet strong. They cannot face the temptation that are allowing your children to expose to. Therefore, verse 17, come out from them and be separate. We have to separate our children, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So what we need to do here, we need to protect our children, separate them, take them from the area of exposure. Suppose there is fire. You will allow your child to go and fall into the fire? No. Why? Because you are protecting him. You will be burned. How about if you see your child walking and he cannot see a big hole in the ground and he may fall? You will not go and run and push him away or pull his hand? Yes. You do it because he will fall. How about then if you allow your child to go with people who are wrong? Friends and children, or you watch TV or expose them to other atmosphere, books that is having some wrong things in it that will not cause your child to fall, then you need to protect him also. If you say it is fine that you go with friends and go to public schools and let anyone who want to teach him, let him teach him, then you are not protecting your child. You are pushing your child into a wrong direction. The children are not able to protect themselves. We need to protect them until they are able to stand firm and protect themselves. That's why God not considering the children are accountable, because they cannot protect themselves. We who have received children from the Lord as a reward from Him, as a gift from Him, we need to do this part. Children are heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him. The word heritage is something that will bring the heritage, the tradition, the concept from generation to another generation. And our children, they are called to be the heritage, to bring the word of God to the next generation. So we need to protect them now until they are well equipped and prepared with God's word, so that they can face the world with a boldly living gospel. Not only with word, but they live it boldly. You know, this we say that to you are isolating your child. Are they afraid that our children, they will not be strong enough or mature enough to live for God and to serve for the glory of God? Are they worried that our children will not be capable of displaying a lifelong servanthood for the glory of God? Are they worried that they will not show Christ-like character in their life? No. They are worried if our children will not know the worldly way of life. They will say that your child will be naive. He will not be naive for God's way, but he will be naive to the worldly way of life. He will know it, but he will not experience it. He will not do it. That's here our point. The people, they will say to you, don't isolate the child. But their point is not that he will be he will not know God's way, or he will not be wise in God's ways. He will not be wise in the worldly ways. That's what they are afraid of. And we don't need that. Paul said in Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, he said, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. I don't need my children, and you don't need your children, to be exposed to wrong things and taste it. No. He say here, I want you to be wise about what is good. Everything good, noble, praiseworthy, admirable, we will teach our children and expose them to it. And anything evil, we will tell them, this is here, we have to stop. We cannot go further. We cannot allow you to touch or see or taste. How we do that? When we don't allow bad atmosphere, or we don't push them with the wrong direction that they should not go. We will show them the right way, and also we show them the wrong way. We will walk in the right way, in the wrong way we say we will not do that. Until they are mature, old, reaching the age of accountability, and they can say no to sin, even we are not with them. Until the age of accountability and maturity in physical fitness and in spirit and in soul, until that, we need to shelter them and we need to protect them from the polluted atmosphere that is around us. Romans, Book of John, chapter 1 and verse 8, speak about John the Baptist. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John the Baptist, he was not the light, but he came as a witness to the light. The same thing here. Our children, they should be a witness for the light. One of the best examples of holy, peculiar life as a Nazarite was was John the Baptist. He was separated from the world. He dressed peculiarly. He ate also in a special way. He ate locusts and honey. He talked also peculiarly. His whole lifestyle was eccentric, odd. Was John the Baptist well socialized? Absolutely not. He was raised in isolation as an only child, and he lived out in wilderness, away from civilization. But was he salt? Yes, he was salt. He polarized the nation with his stingingly salty message. He gave them a salty message. He was speaking with the Pharisees, with the Roman soldier, with a hard message. Was he a light? John the Apostle wrote, as we read in John 1:8, he was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Yes, John the Baptist was a light for God in the world. But how he was a light? By being so totally separate from the world that they were attracted to him. They went out to hear the message. He was at the Jordan River, and the people, they went out to him. He was separated from the worldly way of life. So people was attracted to the light that he carried, being witness for Christ, and he was a salt. He was giving a real message to the people. Sheltering our children is a way for them to shine for Christ. Agree with the word of God, and let us kneel down at his feet, committing our ways and our children into his hands, and doing his will, knowing that the Lord had called us to protect our children, to raise them in the fear of the Lord, to put them in the right atmosphere, so that they will be a chosen generation. They will be the leader for the society, for the church. They will be the vessel to bring the truth to the next generation. And they will be preacher for the future, who will face the world with uncompromising message, not only with word, but in bold living for Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, I praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Bless this time, O God, and thank you for your word. I pray that this word of yours will bring you glory and honor. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you touch each and every one of those who listen. Lord, it is not by chance they listen, but that is your call to them, to sanctify, to be separated, and to separate their children from the worldly things around them, in the name of Jesus. Enable them, O God. Put the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man. Whatever fear of man, I rebuke right now, in the name of Jesus. You help them, Lord. You help every parent to commit his life fully unto you, to raise up his children in a responsible way, separated from the world unto you. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. Take this message with the Holy Spirit and bring it to those who are waiting to hear your word. I pray also, Lord, for everyone who is willing, enable him, enable her, enable those families who are willing to follow your word and walk in your ways. O God, bless us, enlarge our territory, let your hands be with us, and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Christ's name. Amen and Amen.